Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. We are grateful to be able to come to your place of listening today over WSOF, WAJJ Radio, and I appreciate you tuning in and listening to the broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, May the 4th, and since it's Wednesday, let me invite you to come out and be with us for our regular prayer meeting service time tonight, 7 o'clock here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. By the way, we're very easily located right off of the Penny Rile Parkway, new Interstate I-69, exit number 116. And when you turn off on the exit, if you're traveling north, you'll turn to the right at the end of the exit, and you'll find us here on the left at 1415 Island Ford Road. That road, that exit is actually Island Ford Road. You have to make no more turns once you turn off of the interstate. Just turn to the right there on, that is Island Ford Road. You'll find us on the left, just about a quarter of a mile, and very easily found. All right. And then if you're traveling south, of course, you'd exit to the right. You'd turn to the left at the end of the exit. And again, that is the Island Ford Road. You'd find us very easily right here, 1415 Island Ford Road. We'd love to make your acquaintance and love to have your presence with us here in the house of God. Now, tonight's going to be a special night. We've got Brother Jamie Brunson, pastors down in Louisiana, going to be up and preaching for us, and we're looking forward to it. First time that I've ever had Brother Jamie preaching in my pulpit, and I think it's the first time he's been here at the Island Ford Baptist Church to preach. He's known Brother Hall, and he's known me for a while, but this first opportunity we've had to have him in the area, and he's going to be preaching for us, and I'm looking forward to it. Brother Brunson is a good man of God and a good preacher of the gospel, and I appreciate his Bible study and his Bible preaching, and appreciate the life that he lives. And I'm looking forward to him being with us. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have regular prayer meeting time. We'll have time around the altar for prayer, special singing, and congregational singing. And then, Lord willing, Brother Brunson will be preaching. And so love for you to come and be with us tonight in our services. So I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us. Where we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, do ask the Lord to meet with us here tonight. And then also, I mentioned yesterday that there's some revivals going on. The one at Vision Baptist Church, as far as I know, has ended. It was scheduled to end on Tuesday night. And so we're praying that God continue to bless them. But the revival meeting still going on over at the Victory Baptist Church in Greenville, Kentucky. And I'd like to pray for Brother Bill Watkins, the good pastor there, and pray for the preacher there that's preaching, that God might anoint and use him and bring glory and honor to the Lord. Brother Delane, and pray that God would use him for his glory. And then also the camp meeting at Fairdale in Kentucky ends up tonight, so we want to remember them in our prayers as well, that God would bless there and use that. Brother Larry Logson, the good preacher there and pastor there, and pray that the Lord would just bless and meet the need that might be there. And then, of course, remember my wife, that God continue to strengthen, touch, and help her. Keep praying for Brother and Sister Hall. The Lord continue to touch and help them, strengthening them for his glory and honor. Pray for the Grays, Brother Joseph Gray, Miss Amber Gray, have traveled down to North Carolina to be with his parents some and spend some time with them. So keep them in your prayers, that the Lord be with them and help them and keep them safe as they travel back. And then also keep in prayer the Bell family as they've gone down to visit with Andrew down in Tennessee. And of course, Brother Bell's still here, and want to remember him as his wife and children are going down there, that God would bless and help and use them for his glory and honor. Keep them protected and safe, and just the goodness of God in their life. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. By the way, keep praying for Brother Kevin Franklin, our friend in Kansas that's dealing with bladder cancer. He's taken the chemotherapy and had the surgery, and he's recovering. We want to keep him in your prayers. Last I heard, he's doing very well, and we're grateful for that. They have multiplied, doubled up on his chemo, although it's the same amount of chemo itself. They're putting it in half the time, which means that it's doubling up the effect. And so we want to pray that God continue to strengthen and help him. And then Brother Richard Owen over in Virginia, Fisherville, Virginia, that fell out of the tree back some months ago, got broke up all to pieces, and he's continually recovering. We want to keep him in our prayers as well. The Lord touch, bless, and help him and meet his needs. And then, of course, we want to pray for our missionaries. We have a number of missionaries here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, and we pray for them daily. And we've got some of them with some special needs right now. We've got some that their wives are carrying children, some that have just had babes. And so we want to remember them in prayer, the Lord touch and help. But pray for these that some are in language school, learning the language. Some are actually trying to get the footing down to get their churches started. And some that have been there for some time, and pray that God continue to bless and help them. And then some that are still yet on deputation, trying to raise their support and get to the field that God has called them to. So we want to remember them in our prayers at this time. So if you will, as we go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to bless, help the services tonight. Ask Him to use this broadcast today for His glory and His honor as well. Ask Him to help that the message might fall on some good ears, ears that can hear and respond to the Spirit of God, and God's will be done. We're bringing saints closer to the Lord and more in a revived state, serving the Lord Jesus, and then bringing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved by His amazing grace. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. I want to thank You for saving us by Your amazing grace. Lord, I know that if it had not been that You so loved the world, men could never get to God. Men had gone away from God, continually go away from God, and could not find their way back to God. If it had not been that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son, that Jesus suffered, bled, and died that we might be saved. He took our sins, and He took our place on Calvary's cross and died in our place as our substitute. And Father, I want to thank You that You gave Your darling Son, that we could become the sons of God. Father, I want to thank You that You're still saving sinners. Even in this late date, here in May 2016, You're still just as able and just as willing to save as You ever have been. And Father, I pray You might bring sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You might bring the saints to a place, again, repentance and revival, that we might turn to Thee, that we might hear You knocking at the door, and we might open the door and sup with You and fellowship with You and enjoy sweet communion, dear God, with Thee in what we call revival. Father, I pray that You would anoint and bless the services tonight. I pray that You would anoint and bless this broadcast today. Use it according to Thy will. Bless the revival meetings going on. Lord, I pray that You'd help those with the health problems and issues that we've mentioned. Continue to help them, touch them, and meet their needs, and that You'd get all the glory and the honor as You deserve it. We ask this in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, we're going to be reading again two verses. One from 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 7. And then the second from Titus chapter 1 and verse number 8. Again, 1 Timothy 3:7, Titus 1:8. We'll be back right after this song with a message from the Word of God. And I hope that song was a blessing to your heart. And surely we have been blessed, so blessed by the hand of God. Amen. And amen. All right, well, I'm going to read the scripture now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil." Titus 1:8, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." Now, as we're looking at this, we're preaching on 20 characteristics for godly leadership. When I look through my Bible and realize that 1 Timothy chapter number 3 gives 16 characteristics for the bishop. And then I looked in Titus chapter 1, again, he gives 16 characteristics for a bishop. And I notice that there are characteristics given for deacons, and there are even characteristics given for widows. That leads me to believe that our Lord is interested in people having certain characteristics if they are in any type of leadership. Now, I'm not saying that deacons are leaders. In a sense, they are. Neither are widows, but in a sense, they are, because the elder women are to teach the younger women. And so I'm not just preaching about preachers when I deal with bishops. I'm not just preaching to deacons, and I'm not just preaching to widows. I'm preaching to whoever that is out there. There's somebody following your footsteps, so in one way or another, you are a leader. You ought to strive for leadership characteristics. You ought to strive and ask God and trust God to give you these characteristics. And by the way, not just that God would implant them in you, but that God would allow you to grasp hold of them and apply them in your own life. These characteristics that'll make you be a godly leader, that'll bring God glory, that'll lead people in the right way. Well, we've looked at these. As I said, there are 20. When you compare 16 and 16, put them together. Many of them are duplicate, but with different ones, we come up with a total of 20. And we've looked already at the first one. I said we need spiritual maturity. Secondly, a good reputation. Thirdly, a moral purity. Fourth, vigilance. Fifth, prudence, which just simply means to be wise and humble. Number six, respectable. Number seven, hospitable. Number eight, apt to teach. Number nine, not given to wine. Number 10, not self-willed. Number 11, not soon angry. Number 12, I call it not pugnacious, from the phrase no striker. And then number 13, gentle, which is from not a brawler. Number 14, patient. Number 15, not materialistic. The Bible says not greedy of filthy lucre. And number 16, one that manages his own household well. Well, now we're at 17. And the 17th characteristic that we began with on Monday is that someone who loves that which is good, loving God wholeheartedly, and loving God's men. Now, in looking at that, I mentioned it is possible to love the wrong thing. And there are some people that they just love the wrong things. They love that which is wrong. And I brought out to you that the Bible mentions here that there are a number of things, and I've listed at least nine different things, that he said the godly leader must not love. He must be against these things. Let me just run over them again real quickly, and then we'll get to my final point on this point. He must be against ungodly living because he's said to be blameless. He must be against divorce, polygamy, and adultery because he's called the husband of one wife. He should be against instability because he's said to be vigilant. He must be against selfishness because he's said to be given to hospitality and a lover of hospitality. He is to be against alcoholism and drug abuse because he said not given to wine. He's to be against stubbornness and rebellion because he is to be not self-willed. He's to be against excessive anger, hot-headedness, and brutality because he's said to be no striker, not a brawler, and not soon angry. And number 8, he's to be against greed because he's said to be not greedy or filthy lucre. Number 9, he's to be against undisciplined children in an unruly home because he's said to have faithful children, not accused of riot and unruly, and one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So the Apostle Paul warns us that in the last days there's going to rise up those who are lovers of their own selves. That's one of the things. They're covetous. They're despisers of those that are good. They're lovers of pleasure. In other words, they love the wrong things. Then we looked at yesterday at the love of that which is right. And I tried to talk to you about the fact that we need to love that which is good. Amen. Love that which is good. We're to hate evil, but we're to love that which is good. And I mentioned to you that many of those translators that translate these other versions of the Bible, rather than saying a lover of good men, they quote it a lover of good. They argue that the King James Bible should have the word men in italics because they say it's not in the original Greek. Now, I believe that it is. And the reason they say that is because they're using the wrong Greek. But I'll use their argument. You should love that which is good, not just good men. You should love the good things, right? Amen. But then, the third point, this is where we started yesterday, and I want to finish with today, is the love of righteous, the love of the righteous. Now, again, I say I take the position that the translators of the King James Bible were right and correct in their translation because there are no errors in the King James Bible. The reason that the word men does not appear in the Greek used by these that translate other translations, again, is because they use the wrong Greek text, the wrong Greek manuscript. I believe that God was instructing us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul that we are to be sure that those who aspire to godly leadership positions should be those who genuinely love other godly leaders. I do think that this is important. It is important that we do not get the mindset that we are the only one doing right, that we are the only one people should listen to, that we are the only one that knows the truth and preaches the truth. You see, again and again throughout the Bible, we are instructed not to be selfish, greedy, or even envious of others and their positions. It is not right for one pastor to be selfish or to be intimidated by another pastor. Amen. We're not against each other. We are supposed to be working towards the same goal. Amen. Now, in this same spirit, Christians should not be selfish of or intimidated by other Christians. We're brothers and sisters in the faith and servants of the same Lord. It's sad, but there are some people that cannot get along with anyone. Amen. I wonder if they don't argue in the shower rather than singing in the shower. Amen. I wonder if they don't argue and complain. I've heard the joke. They say that you can always tell independent Baptists because if you get four independent Baptists in the same room, you'll have at least five different opinions. Well, there are some people that cannot get along with others. God says it should not be so. I'll say it in the language that the disciple James said. James said, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Amen. Well, let me give you some scripture. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 1-3, we see the Apostle Paul being a good illustration of this. He constantly spoke of those that walked with him and worked alongside of him. Look at it, Romans 16, 1-3. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Kenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Again, 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Again, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. One more, Galatians chapter number 1, verses 1-2, the Bible says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia." Now, I believe I could list at least a dozen other texts that show that the Apostle Paul constantly linked arms with other Christians to get the work of God done. We also notice that the Apostle Paul was not the only one. The Apostle John did the same thing, even ran into some problems with those who refused to render him the proper honor and friendship that he deserved. This man was denounced and marked as one who was haughty and was wrong. Look at it. 3 John chapter 1, verses 8-11. "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth." Do you see that? We ought to be fellow helpers of the truth. He said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil," look at this, "but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now, I'm not talking about being ecumenical. I'm not talking about linking up hands with people that are promoting false doctrine. But I am saying this. We ought to recognize that we're not the only one in God's army. We're no lone ranger. Amen. God does not save and call lone rangers. God's got people. Matter of fact, when Elijah thought he was the only one, and he said, "I'm no better than my fathers." By the way, that should have been a flag right there. Whoever said he was better than his fathers? When a man gets a pity party, most of the time it's because he's thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. But Elijah said, "I'm no better than my fathers. Let me die," because he said, "I'm the only one that's serving the Lord." I'm paraphrasing, of course. And God said, "No," he said, "Elijah, I've got, how many was it? Was it, I forget, 7,000, I believe he said, that's not bowed the knee to Baal." Amen. Now, let me close this message with the instructions that we should love the Lord, and we should also love them that also love him. We should not be envious of others who work for the Lord, but we should rejoice and work and walk alongside them, praying that God bless their labors and ours together, that we might reach sinners with the gospel, that we might exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God might be glorified. Loving God and loving godly men. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the teaching. Help us, dear God, to measure up and to bring you the glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.